Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be tackling some difficult subjects as we follow Jesus' journey on Through the Word. Divorce is a tough topic because many of us have been hurt by it. I went through two divorces as a young child, and I don't recommend it. Neither does Jesus. In verse 3, the Pharisees try to trap Jesus by asking a question about divorce. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Jesus gives a masterful answer, but they spring the trap in verse 7. Why then, they asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. Man, you can almost see the crowd wince as Jesus speaks to them as if their hard hearts were what made an exception clause for divorce necessary. But it is, isn't it? Hard hearts is why divorce usually happens. Somebody in the marriage, if not both, has hardened their heart in some way against the other. Then Jesus drops the bomb in verse 9. I tell you that if anyone divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery. Jesus here is interpreting what Deuteronomy 24:1 was referring to when it said a man may put his wife away for indecency. Some think that Jesus is saying that you're not okay to leave a marriage that may be physically dangerous to you. But Deuteronomy actually deals with that too and condemns it. But in this case, Jesus is simply interpreting what the indecency in the spouse may be. And he answers that adultery is this indecency. So if you're in a relationship where you're being physically threatened, you need to get help for that and the authorities notified for your own safety. But back to the passage in regards to adultery, forgiveness has been a common theme so far in the previous chapter. And although we're not told that we have to forgive the adulterous spouse, Jesus here equates it with hardness of heart. Now, I've never committed adultery, nor has it been committed on me, but I still realize what a hard saying this is. And it's meant to be hard, which is why the disciples respond in verse 10 by saying, if this is the situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to marry. Jesus replied, not everyone can accept this word, but only to those whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others, and there are those who chose to live like eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it. You thought Jesus' statement about divorce was hard? Try this one on for size. Some people are actually single for God. Kids, ask your mom and dad what a eunuch is, if you don't know. And speaking of kids, verse 13. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked him. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And when he placed his hands on them, he went on from there. I love that Jesus doesn't think of what he's talking about as just adult stuff, but he includes kids in everything. After all, the kingdom belongs to such as these. When I think about my kids, there's not only a fascination with Jesus that never fades in them, there's also an interest in the kingdom of heaven, and even the ability to hear what he says about difficult subjects with simplicity. I wish someone had told a young Peyton about these things back when I was going through divorce and watching my parents split up. The world was a very confusing place to a young man, and my family didn't have Jesus, but I needed him, and it would have helped to have been talked through the very confusing world I was trying to interpret on my own. And as Jesus is talking to adults and children about heaven, belonging to people who are just like heaven. In verse 16, just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" This man, we find out later in conversation, already thought he had eternal life. He was just looking for a compliment. After all, he was moral, decent, and rich. And back then, as now, people equated wealth with being blessed by God. But more than anything, this man was proud. So Jesus sets him up for a little self-awareness in verse 17. "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." This man thought he was perfect already. In some ways, he was hoping to hear from Jesus, "Why, you are perfect already. Everyone, listen up. You know how I was saying that kids were a model of the types of people of heaven? Well, scratch that. Let me amend what I said. They're also like this guy right here. He's the perfect model of the types of people you find in heaven." But no. Jesus goes straight to his heart, puts his finger on the man's greed or covetousness that lived there. One of the Ten Commandments was, "You shall not covet." And this is the one that Jesus centers in on without quoting it, because this man ignored it. And he came to realize, standing right there, that he was covetous beyond belief, literally. Mark tells us that Jesus, loving the man, answered. So Jesus loved this man deeply, and because of this, needed him to have an awakening awareness of his own sin, so that he would realize he needed a Savior. Verse 22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Peter, being Peter, jumps at the chance to show Jesus he's left everything for him. Verse 27, Peter answered him, "We've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." What a great encouragement. Every sacrifice you've ever made to God is precious. Every marriage you've fought tooth and nail to preserve and protect matters. And every relationship you've lost for Jesus is special to him and will not go unnoticed. A couple of things before we close here, though. We are all sinners. If you've been through a divorce, Jesus doesn't say here that you're unforgiven. Guess what? On the other side of divorce, you'll find that God still loves you too. If nothing else, it'll bring you to the conclusion that the rich man should have come to, that you need Jesus, that you, in fact, are not perfect. But that's the good news, my friend. Jesus loves imperfect people. He forgives the sinner, and he loves them, which means he loves you too.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.